You're listening to Civic Conversations, a podcast collaboration between the League of Women Voters, Bloomington, Monroe County, and this station, WFHB. I'm Jim Allison, your host, and Becky Hill is our producer. Very pleased to say you can find Civic Conversations each and every month on WFHB at both 93.1 and 98.1 FM. Today, we're pleased to welcome essay winner Annika Ebenson to talk about her part in the League of Women Voters Brown County Voter Turnout Essay Contest. Annika, thanks very much for being here today with us.
It's my pleasure. I'm glad to be here.
I've read your essay more than once, and I was very impressed with it, both in terms of its style and its content. It's very comprehensive, and it's very perceptive, I thought. So before we talk about the substance of the essay itself, let's talk a little bit about what led you to, in the first place, to take part in this League of Women Voters Brown County Essay Contest, and tell us a little bit also about the requirements of this essay contest.
So there was one day, I was winter break, I was just sitting at home, and I was looking over the like school's resource page of opportunities, and I came across this option for the voter turnout essay with our local chapter of the League of Women Voters. And I was like, this sounds like a great idea. So I was looking more into it, and the requirements that you were either in 8th grade or from 9th to 12th grade, and you had to have a cited bibliography and use, I think it was like around 5+ sources, and it had to be under 1,500 words. And I had never done any essay contest thing like this before, so I was like, why not? I'll do something productive with my time, and that's what I chose.
Okay. Now, as I said, I was very impressed with the content, which showed a lot of research, and you must have done a lot of research for your essay. So tell us a little bit about what kind of research you did, what your sources were, and things like that.
So again, I was just sitting at home on winter break, and I decided to just dive right in, and I started using Google Scholar, which is like Google's scholarly resource where they have resources and essays and published articles. And I researched Indiana's voter turnout for the past few years, as well as Indiana voter practices. And that was really interesting because I'm not originally from Indiana. I'm from Washington State. So I didn't know much about Indiana's voter processes. So it was a very like good experience just for myself and my own knowledge. And then I also researched the U.S.'s voter turnout and other states' voter practice, like voter licensing laws and all of those things, as well as civic education in other states to see how Indiana compared.
I see. So your source was that biggest of all libraries possible, the Internet.
And, and I just dove right in.
Okay, before we go any further, maybe we should tell our audience the title of your essay. That would give some preparation for what's going to come. Your essay is entitled Solutions for the Lack of Voter Participation in Indiana and the Current State of Voter Participation in the United States. So let's talk about what you see maybe as the biggest roadblocks to voting. How did those roadblocks get there? Who put them there? And to what purpose do they serve?
So there are some physical roadblocks as well as mental roadblocks. The physical roadblocks are things like election day being on a Tuesday, and a lot of people can't get off of work to go and vote, or their employers don't offer enough time for them to go and vote on their lunch break or anything like that. And some people just don't have the access, whether that be cars, transportation, family members to drive them to the polling location, so they just can't vote. And in Indiana, the current mail-in ballot situation is you have to have a valid excuse, and that can sometimes be hard to get approved. So not everyone has the option to mail in their ballots. Then the mental roadblocks are things like apathy, and then the lack of political efficacy. So people feel like their one vote can't make a difference, and then so they just don't turn out to vote, or they feel disconnected from the government, and again, that one vote they feel like is not going to make a difference. And when a lot of people feel like that, it adds up very quickly, and then there's a lot of people not voting, and it greatly skews the outcome of the elections.
Okay, next I'm going to ask you how we can make it easier for people to vote. But before we get to that question, maybe a preparatory question, Let's suppose you happen to meet somebody who thinks we don't need to make it easier for people to vote, that it's easy enough already, maybe it's even too easy. What would you say to such a person once you got past your preliminary question of, I respect your opinion, sir, then what would you say?
I'd say that it's important that everybody has the right to vote, and it with our current statutes that we have in place and all of the things that are required to vote, not everyone is able to actually get out and vote, even if it's easy for a majority of people who have access to vehicles or time to take off work or live close to their polling locations. Not everyone is afforded that luxury, and we need to have it where everyone has the chance to vote, no matter if they're poor, if they don't have a car, if they were recently in jail. Everyone should have the right to vote, no matter where they are in our social rankings, because that should not matter. And then to make it easier for people to vote, we need to put systems in place like automatic voter registration. Whenever someone becomes eligible to vote, there's a database that automatically registers them to vote, so they don't have to put in the work, which that's something that can deter a lot of people from voting, unfortunately. So at the next election, they can just show up to the polling place and then they can vote. We can also do things like no excuse mail-in ballots, which gives everyone the opportunity to use a mail-in ballot instead of actually going to their polling location, which is beneficial for people who work or can't make it to their polling location due to transportation issues. And there's a lot of other states that currently use the no excuse mail-in ballot system and have no issues with that. States like Washington, do that for a lot of their state positions, not always like state legislature, not always national legislature. And then we also need to strengthen civics education. That's a huge thing, and not just in the form of taking a high school government class. We need to broaden that beyond just a basic government class.
I see. Well, I'm pleased to say that in Indiana, one of the excuses is age, which I've benefited from greatly for several years now. I'm very grateful for it. It makes it
Which
much easier to
is
vote.
good.
And I always use the mail-in option also. It's really, really convenient. I do appreciate it.
Definitely.
Your essay alludes to the voters' disconnection from the process of voting. Let's talk about that a little bit. What do you mean by disconnection? And what should have, does a voter really have some reason to feel disconnected? Talk about that a bit.
Okay. Yeah, so I don't feel like people should feel disconnected from their government, but a lot of people do. And I think that has definitely greatly increased over the past few years, due to people constituents not feeling like they're getting what they're putting into the government, or if they feel like they're not being represented correctly by their legislature. All of that adds up, or if they just see things in the government that's not how they want, they feel like they can't change it, it's too far above them. So people feel disconnected and like their vote won't change anything, and that is definitely not true. We need everyone's vote to get a fair representation of our democracy and what everyone feels like. So people just gradually feel more and more disconnected as policy becomes more political, and when it necessarily shouldn't be. So people start to feel, and I don't think they should, but that's just where I'm coming from. I do see how other people feel disconnected.
Okay, why don't you tell us a bit about your own civic education? Did it come from school or somewhere else? And tell us what it's meant for you personally, and tell them about your friends. Do your friends share a similar feeling about civic education?
Yeah, so this past senior year, it's a requirement, at least in Brown County schools, for every senior to take a government course. I took AP government this past year. That was really great. My teacher did teach me a lot of things about voting and all of that because she was passionate about that. But most of my civics education has come from my parents and just instilling the idea that it's important to get out and vote and feel strongly about your political opinions and know where you stand on things. And that's just something I've learned, especially. I remember the first time I really remember a presidential election was in 2016. I was in seventh grade. And ever since then, I've just grown more aware of politics and all of that and the importance of voting and everyone turning out to vote. And so this past midterm, that was the first time I was able to go and vote, and that was just really fun. I shouldn't say fun, but like it was a good experience. And I was like, wow, I'm doing something. And thankfully, all of my friends have similar ideas about that. Once we all turned 18, we all registered to vote, and we all are pretty passionate in politics and making sure our voices are heard.
Okay, in your school, did you have any practical experience with how to vote, the use of voting machines and things like that?
We did not. I know our government teacher, she taught us a bit about it, but I think most of the students, most probably didn't listen. I know a lot of them didn't register to vote. All of that things. We also have an online option for government classes, and that is often the easy way out that everyone just kind of does to get the requirement out of the way. But do they actually learn anything in that? Most likely not. But she, like, we didn't really talk about how to register to vote, how to find candidates that you would like to vote for, and all of those things, which are so important. We need to learn how to do that and know how to do that, because if we don't, we can't vote effectively into what we want. Because if we just straight ticket vote, or if we just are choosing random names, that's not representative of what we actually are feeling.
Okay, so in school, civic education has some room for improvement. I guess we could agree on
Definitely.
that. Okay, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us how old you are and tell us your plans for the future.
Okay, so I'm 18, and I just graduated from Brown County High School this past month. And this fall, I am going to the University of Evansville to study exercise science on the pre-physical therapy track. And then I am directly admitted into the physical therapy grad school at Evansville. And so that's what I'm going to be doing from the next 6 years. I get to start my undergrad my senior year, so that cuts a little bit of time off the total, which is really nice. And one day I'd like to work as a sports physical therapist, so helping athletes, possibly on a traveling team, something like that. Or I'd like to open up my own clinic. I think that'd be really cool.
Very good. Anna Gavinson, thanks very much for being with us today. Thanks to our listening audience for listening to us on Civic Conversations. This is Jim Allison of the League of Women Voters, Bloomington, Monroe County. The League is a nonpartisan, grassroots, citizen-led organization that has fought since 1920 to improve our government and engage all citizens in the decisions that impact their lives. And we hope you will join us next month for yet another civic conversation.